Jim Bennett is a prominent attorney here in town, part of the firm of Dowd Bennett. But many years ago, he was a law clerk in the United States Supreme Court working for Justice Anthony Kennedy, who at the time had the title Associate Justice and, frankly, still does. I've asked Jim to join me this morning so we could talk a little bit about what it was like behind the scenes on major decisions like yesterday's Supreme Court ruling on Obamacare. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Paul.
First question, how do you keep a decision secret like this in an organization with 70 people? How does it not leak out how the justices voted?
It's amazing, but it has not happened, and it didn't happen with something with this much pressure to leak. I think it's for a couple of different reasons. The first is the law clerks, there's 36 of them, so half of the 70 know how it happened. And on the first day on the job, when you're just out of law school, you go in and have a meeting with the Chief Justice of the United States where one of the main topics is the code of conduct and confidentiality. And that has a pretty intimidating effect on the clerks. But the clerks also have no incentive to leak, like there might be in executive branch positions. They're looking to get a job with either a law professor or a big law firm, and the culture is such that if you leaked, you would be totally outcast. In fact, some people have written books 15, 20 years after they left their clerkships, and they've really been viewed negatively by the group of people that are in that group that work there. And also, we would never take a draft out. You know, things leak sometimes because they're on the metro in Washington, D.C., and somebody sees what you're reading.
Yeah.
And these clerks do not take drafts of the opinions out of the building, and it's essentially totally self-contained. And so those are a couple of the reasons. The other big reason is it's a short time period. You know, things leak in the White House because people are trying to keep secrets for years and years. Here, nobody knew how the justices voted until April, and it's June, and it's over. So it's a short time frame.
Okay, so in between the time the justices vote and the time they actually announce it, what's going on? Is it just one justice at that point writing it and the other justices say, well, we voted, it's on you?
A little bit of both. This case was argued on April 5th. Immediately after that, they would have had a conference where they sat in a room where just the nine of them, nobody else is allowed in there at all, even the clerks, and they vote. And so when that's over, the justices tell their clerks how the votes went. And normally, the justices who are in the minority or who don't agree with the majority will start working on opinions too. And so those dissents by Justice Ginsburg or partial majorities by Justice Ginsburg and then the four other justices were in process the whole time.
Was it pretty much assumed that a case like this of such major importance, I'm sure in the Supreme Court everyone thinks every case is of major importance, but this one really was of national importance. Was it a foregone conclusion that Justice Roberts would write the majority opinion?
Absolutely not. I think that there was a lot of thought that there might be a 6-3 vote to uphold it where Justice Kennedy and Justice Roberts would vote to uphold the law, and then Justice Roberts might assign it to himself so that he can put his stamp on the law and also somewhat control the outcome. But I did not think that many people thought that it would be a 5-4 vote with Justice Roberts providing the fifth vote for the opinion.
Did you think Justice Kennedy would?
I did not know how he would vote. I believed that he very much believes in individual liberty and right, and I thought that it would be troubling to him to have a law that made somebody do something like that. And so I wasn't surprised by it, but I had no special insight into how he was going to decide it. I think it was definitely something he was given careful thought to, and nobody could say they knew how he was going to decide it.
So once they vote and they have their conference and they decide who's going to write the decisions, it's actually the law clerks who are putting together the vast majority of that paperwork, right?
I actually don't think – I think that that's the conventional wisdom, but on a case of this significance, I suspect that Justice Roberts, for example, who was a great lawyer in private practice and used to do his own work there, probably had an extremely heavy hand. It's not to say the clerks aren't helping and finding citations for things and filling stuff in. If you read the opinions, the justices write with a lot of confidence, and clerks are young and tend to do less. And I thought in the opinions, it looked like the justices did a lot of their own work.
How much pressure did Justice Kennedy feel as the so-called swing vote?
You know, I don't on this particular case, I think that he would hear the arguments, look at it, and keep his own counsel and decide how he thought it. I never detected when I was with him for that year any sort of moving with, you know, what the papers are reporting or anything like that. I think that he does have his own mind, and he's a little harder to predict than a lot of them. But I would say that's more of his judicial temperament than it is, you know, going with the flow of popular press.
And when you were there, could you tell from oral argument which way justices were going to vote?
I think sometimes they are very clear on signaling it, or it's just an obvious outcome. But here, I think that the oral argument had the wrong outcome. I think that a lot of people thought that the justices were extremely skeptical of it, and certainly Justice Roberts didn't tip his hand. Now, the decision was based on the taxing power as opposed to the Commerce Clause,
yep.
And so I think that the oral argument did show there was a lot of Commerce Clause problems with this law, and that turned out to be right. But I don't think anybody was confident that he would vote to uphold this under the taxing authority.
Last question I have for you, Jim. How much are the justices thinking about legacy?
You know, the Chief Justice has a particular obligation, I think, for the stature of the court. And, you know, I don't believe anyone would ever say that they're basing a decision on it. But there's a lot of historic Supreme Court cases, even back to Marbury versus Madison, where justices have held one thing that seems to keep the court impartial or viewed as impartial and maintain its place in society as such. And I think that the legacy of this decision will further that, and whether that impacted Justice Roberts or not, only he could tell you.
Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate the insight into what it's like working as a law clerk there at the Supreme Court.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be on.
Jim Bennett, prominent attorney here in our town with the firm of Dowd Bennett, here on McGraw in the Morning with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.